White, W.C. White, Mary. Battle Creek, Michigan, September 22, 1880. Dear children, Willie and Mary. Edson, Emma, White, and Mother have just stepped on board the train for Indiana camp meeting. Father decided to remain and prepare for camp meeting. He seems now to be in an excellent state of mind. While in Ohio, we had several earnest and important talks. Also one since we came to Battle Creek. Father has already sent in his resignation of every office except his connection with the publishing work. I think there will be no disagreeable issue. My daily prayer is for wisdom and sanctified judgment. Oh, how much we need this now, as the work increases and the power of Satan is more earnest and determined to destroy souls. We must have greater faith, more depth of experience, greater spirituality. We do not have that calm, abiding trust in the promises of God we ought to have. We do not feel the sinfulness of our not taking God at His word and relying upon His precious promise. Sure are the promises if we will only appropriate them. This journey has been one of interest to me. I have been blessed and sustained in a most remarkable manner. I have spent many wakeful hours pleading with God for physical and spiritual strength. I have had my prayers answered. Stillwell Junction, 6:30. We wait here until 9:30. Get upon the ground about midnight. I am sure the Lord has heard and answered my prayers. I left the Alma camp meeting sick. I had a high fever all night and all day Monday. Yet we went to Battle Creek, and the doctor told me it was certainly not my duty to go to Magog. He said much now depended on me, and I should feel that the cause of God demanded that I should keep myself in the very best condition for labor. He made so urgent a plea, I really was on the point of giving up going. But I thought I might have fully as wearing labor to remain, as Father was anxious to go. I consented. I could not eat or drink for 2 or 3 meals. We were 2 days and 2 nights on this trip. We had to wait several hours at Sherbrooke for the stage. They loaded on a very large barrel of alcohol, several boxes, and any amount of bundles. Our 2 large trunks and hand baggage, and we stowed ourselves in amid all these and rode 16 miles to Magog. When we came upon the ground, the meeting was in session, but they gave a loud shout of victory. There was a joyous welcome for us. We found our tent well furnished, floor and carpet, upholstered chairs, washstand, and 2 beds, one for Elder, G.I., Butler, one for Father and me. This was an excellent meeting. I was not well any of the time. My cold was very severe. The discharges from my head were fearful, yet I labored carefully and did not break down. I had very great freedom in speaking. The Lord had sustained me. On Sunday there was a large company assembled, and I was never more free than upon this occasion. Those who came to hear were enthusiastic over it. They had been making an effort to put down the licensing of liquor selling. They failed. They said if Mrs. White had come there a week before and spoken in their cities, they should have succeeded in putting down the sale of liquor. They said they would have given her $25 a night. I found here it would have been a terrible disappointment if I had failed here. I feel sure this was my duty. We gave great encouragement to the Bordeaux's. The man who owned the ground was out to hear. His mother was out to all our meetings and will, we think, keep the Sabbath. She gave me $0.50. She sent $1 to Sister Olmsted, Brother Kellogg's wife's cousin, for sending her the signs. She said she had not felt that she could have much interest in the Old Testament, but the articles coming through the signs had made dark things so plain she was interested and sees a new beauty in the Old Testament she had never seen before. She had considerable to say in reference to our faith. She seemed to be one in spirit with us. Her son is the wealthiest man in Magog. We had to here meet a party, true immersionists, and a party of these spasmodic ones who consider that religion consists in a noise. They shout and bellow and foam and act like men bereft of their reason. This was called the power, but I told them there was no religion in it. It was a spurious article. This is modern sanctification, but it is as an opposite to the genuine sanctification as light is in contrast with darkness. We had the privilege of presenting the true sanctification before them. Our testimony on these points were very much needed. Satan will be willing a people who profess to be keeping the law of God should represent themselves before the world in words and deportment as fanatics, for this disgusts unbelievers. And they cast the truth and the fanaticism in the same scale and count it of the same value. The Lord keep his dear people from fanaticism and heresies which are so prevalent everywhere. Tuesday morning we rode back to Sherbrooke, 16 miles, and took the train for Island Pond and on to Portland, Maine. Wednesday we took the early train for Waterville, so we're on the ground in good season. We commenced labor at once, and the Lord gave me a testimony from the first, which melted its way to the hearts of the people. Brother Samuel Foss and Sister Mary were on the ground and seemed to enjoy the meetings very much. This was the best camp meeting we have had in Maine. This is the united testimony of all present. Father was free in speaking and was cheerful and pleasant. Brother George Barker's tent was close beside ours, and they boarded us and were very attentive to us all the way through. We had an excellent boarding tent. We left the ground Monday morning, stopped at Morrill's Corner for dinner. Brother Davis let us have his horse and covered carriage, Brother Morton his, and visited the forts in Cape Elizabeth. It was a great sight, well worth the pains we took in going there. We called on old Brother Cobb on the Cape. He was called Fish Cobb. He was so pleased he scarcely knew what to do or to say. We called on Sister Ferguson and Brother Lobdell. They were glad to see us, but we could not stop long. As we were driving through the city, we came upon a large Republican torch procession. It was a grand scene, I assure you. Only a few weeks before, Mary and I had met a similar display in Portland, Oregon, on the Pacific coast. Now we were on the Atlantic, away across the continent, in Portland, Maine. We made our stay at Brother Davis's early in the morning, took cars for Gorham, hired carriage, and drove to Sister Lizzie's, Bangs. They were glad to meet us, but poor Lizzie will, I fear, never get well. She is a great sufferer. She is, however, cheerful. We met here Melissa and Emma. We all rode up to visit Edith. The children sang them a number of pieces. Early Wednesday morning, we took cars for Boylston and commenced labor. The Lord blessed me here with great freedom. Edson gave an excellent lecture upon temperance. Monday, I had to bear a close testimony to one man whose name was Macomber. Macomber? He came on the ground and tented with several women. I told him he was professedly keeping the commandments of God while he was breaking the seventh, that he was an adulterer, a licentious man. He confessed as he came forward for prayers, but he only confessed to blind the minds of others. I have written to him 30 pages of notepaper and sent it to be read to the church where he lives. We left the ground to go to South Lancaster, hoping to get a good rest. But that night, I was so burdened I could not remain in bed, but spent some time in prayer. The next day appointed meetings for two nights, Tuesday and Wednesday nights. I wrote about 30 pages of letter paper, and Sister Thayer copied. I suppose you have heard the particulars of this. I spent about 2 sleepless nights and labored Wednesday night until 11 o'clock. Brother Priest broken down good. It was genuine, sound. No makeup about it. Thursday, we went to the Vermont meeting, arrived there about 1 o'clock at night. Found tent all pitched and furnished. The tent was roomy. We had excellent meetings in Vermont. Friday night, I bore my testimony with great power. It seemed to cut everything before it that night. Brother Stone was nearly all night in prayer in the grove, and Sabbath morning he made a most humble confession. I assure you, there was a break in the camp. Others followed his example. Sabbath, many came forward for prayers, and we felt that the angels of God were in the meeting. We indeed had the best meeting we have ever had in Vermont. I had some very bad, bad jobs to perform. I took Brother Bean and wife and talked to them very plain. They did not rise up against it. I cried myself, could not help it. I told him he must not expect credentials, for he would not get them. He has given that up now. Tuesday morning, Father and I rode up to visit Sister Byam. We could only stay a short time. We gave him a copy of Life Sketches. He gave me a $5. Remainder missing.